Yes, you are listening to Law and Gospel on this Rumination Thursday, June the 28th, in the year of our Lord 2018. And as is our custom, we always like to talk to Wes Reimnitz, who's in Springfield, Illinois. But unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do that today because he's in the studio.
Aren't you fortunate?
I am so fortunate to have you in the studio. Yes. And you know why you're coming.
Steak and Shake.
Yep. We got a bunch of people coming over there after. But
what, are you spreading out the cost? Or?
Oh, yeah. No. We're going by alphabetical order, and anybody whose name ends in R pays this time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's the way I'm figuring it out.
I thought it started with the B's.
No, that was last month. Okay, continuing here. What are we going to be talking about today? I already said it on the promo. White privilege. Have you heard of this? The reason I suggested to Wes, and he's done quite a bit of work on this, is in the Post-Dispatch, they have a religion section every Saturday. And my wife gets it ready for me. Here is a Presbyterian pastor. I guess he thinks he's a pastor. Christopher Keating. And the title is, Privilege of Being White is Made Visible Every Day. Now, one of the things that I learned about white privilege is it really is in the imagination of a lot of people. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I kept writing that over and over in my notes. I said, this doesn't make any sense. There's no
evidence
there.
Yes. In fact, I have been bragging about Jordan Peterson. He's a Canadian at the University of Toronto, a top psychologist, and he is totally against all this new kind of thinking, political correctness. And he has over 1 million people subscribing to his YouTube channel. But one of the things he did, and I was listening to his YouTube items, and he doesn't talk for 5 or 8 minutes. A lot of times he talks for a half an hour to an hour and a half. And one of the discussions he had was with a woman who believed that there is such a thing as white privilege, that being white gives you a privilege. And he made the point that there was a woman at the University of Toronto who had done a paper on white privilege, and he had read it and said if she had been a member of his class, she would have gotten an F because there was no evidence for anything she was saying. She would just make statements. And I think you found a lot of them in the readings you were doing.
Oh, exactly. In fact, I kind of came to a conclusion. It sounded more like class warfare than it did anything to do with privilege.
That's exactly correct. We're really moving into what was at one time a communist way of thinking, with particularly political identity, where people are now put into various categories. And if you're in a various category, then that category is something that is bad. For example, this, give you one example. This pastor says, unlike some of my friends who are black, I have never been questioned by the police when I was parked outside a grocery store. Well, he doesn't give any of the circumstances why the police questioned him. And I'll tell you, I'm white. And when I first was at my parish in University City in St. Louis, I would often take young men with me from the parish, and we would chase fires on Friday night. There were so many fires in St. Louis. We often got there before the fire engines did. But I'll remember this one time that we got to the place, and the whole area was a black area, and here are 4 young men who are white. Guess what? The police came over and questioned us. Why are you here?
Here, yep.
So this is a bunch of nonsense that being white has a privilege. What's some of your thoughts?
Well, historically, you hit the button about the communists. I was able to research that this kind of came out of the term privilege out of the 1930s by one who espoused communism. And it got picked up in the 1980s by the feminist movement, and it was called White Privilege versus Man and Man Privilege. And just because you were white or you were a male or, you were black was a person who had a hardship, and he didn't have the privilege that a white person did. But I don't know about you, but I found the same problems that a black person was, finding a job, getting a job when you're first starting out.
28 years in the ministry at a congregation that was primarily black. And the white folks and the black people in that congregation both had uphill battles. And both of them could become successful. And it really decided on how hard they worked at something. And I didn't see any specific privileges that the white people had in my congregation over the black people. Like, when we had the Lord's Supper, I said, well, first of all, we'll have the white people come up, and then later the black. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. And some of the stuff I was running across, being poor is hard. Being poor and disabled, you're disadvantaged. Or being a woman is hard, but being a transgender woman is harder.
You see, what they're getting mixed up with is identity and morality. If someone is a lesbian, and by the way, the one you're reading, she is a lesbian.
Yes.
She should expect that Christians are going to look down on her for that kind of a lifestyle. That isn't that they have a better privilege, but they recognize the fact from God's point of view that being a lesbian or a homosexual or being in gay marriage is an abomination before Almighty God. And that's why they think that people who aren't that way are privileged. No, they're not privileged because they're immoral.
Yes, and I think, too, a lot of the Christians that come into contact with them spend time trying to speak to them in a loving way about what's going on. Not, you're an outcast, get out of my way.
But as we often say on Law and Gospel, the law precedes the gospel, but it rarely is taken with joy.
Yeah, one of the things that I've picked up here recently, I've watched some old Westerns, from the 1950s and different films. And the Christian's always portrayed as being a hard-nosed, you're out of my family because you did something wrong. And I'm going, that's not the way I saw it growing up in the 50s and 60s.
Exactly. In fact, if people have their ears open, and this is why KFUO does this, this is a Lutheran perspective on white privilege, you should expect to start hearing more and more people bemoaning white privilege. And I'm going to ask you this question. In New York, a congressman got defeated that was not supposed to be defeated. Do you know the 22-year-old that defeated him, the woman, what she said to her followers? She says, because of the color of his skin, do not vote for him.
Oh, really?
He was white.
Yeah, I knew she...
And she's a socialist and communist. She wants to get rid of ICE. That's that group that's keeping our borders safe. She just wants to disband it. She wants to give welfare to everybody in the country. It's $7 billion. That's impossible. But this is what happened years ago under the communists, that people who had these socialist ideas, they don't just dialogue against their people. They hate the other side, and they'll start using skin color and this kind of thing.
Exactly. Well, the question I have, as I read through this, is how does the Christian respond?
Yes, and what was their answer?
Which one?
Because that's actually how we should respond. They do that. We need to take action. It's by that one you were talking about. Here's what she says. Listen to people who experience oppression. Learn about how you can work in solidarity with oppressive groups. Join feminist and activist communities in order to support those you have privilege over. Focus on teaching other privileged people about their privilege. Okay, between the lines, what she's saying is we who are against abortion should join the feminists who are for abortion because they're being oppressed. And also, those of us who are against a gay lifestyle, we should join the pride groups and be for them. This is never going to happen because Christians will never, ever go away from God's commands.
Right. And you look at, when I look at some of this, whether they're feminist or gay or whatever, and we probably have them in our congregations, but we take the time to talk to them about their identity as a baptized child of Christ.
Exactly. Here's another statement she makes. Privilege doesn't mean that your life is easy, but rather it's easier than others. Yes. And has no proof of that at all. No evidence, no polls, anything. In my congregation that I was at, as I said, for 28 years, some of the black people were well regarded in the community. They were principals of the school. They were great teachers. They were great in sports and this kind of thing. And they were definitely better off than some of the white people who didn't have some of those abilities.
Right, and you see it all the time, whether they're working for government in the streets of St. Louis, Springfield, wherever they may be. I mean, they're working side by side with other people of color and distinction. It doesn't make any difference between race, color, and creed. They're going to, I call it racial uplift. You know where I picked up the term?
No.
Booker T. Washington.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he was counterbalanced to this fellow named Du Bois.
Uh-huh.
And he was kind of the communist who went out and said that you fight against segregation, you educate and agitate. Booker T. Washington took the position that you learn a trade and called it racial uplift, and that's how you get out of all of this race.
Yeah, I'd hate to be a policeman in this Presbyterian church where Keating is supposedly the pastor, because he is definitely talking against the police again and again. I had policemen in my congregation, and they didn't fit the profile that he's talking about at all. Sure, every now and then you're going to get a bad policeman. In fact, there's this international group that is supposed to be against the rape of women and children, etc. On the news this morning, the 22-year-old who heads this up was just arrested for fooling around with little children 2 years old.
You know, I was the same way. Of course, you know, I worked. No, I wasn't a rapist. I'm referring to the policeman.
Oh, really?
You know, in central Illinois, of course, I was a district exec.
Uh-huh.
And would travel out, so I got to know many of the county, the state, the local sheriffs, and had nothing but the highest regard for the safety that they had for people. And it pained them whenever they had to really pull a weapon and use it. They'd rather talk the situation out than pull a weapon out. But what do you do when somebody's shooting at you?
One of my favorite programs is Chicago PD, and I was watching a rerun last night, and it was interesting. A policewoman was accused of shooting a black teenager in the back while he was running away. Now, what they didn't have, and they finally got it, they got a video of him shooting a gun at her partner, wounding him, and then throwing it into the water. And it was really interesting. This was in Chicago. And they said, we can't bring him to trial. Because in Chicago at this time, there's no way a jury is going to consider him to be guilty. He's a black teenager, and he got shot in the back by the police. Now, don't tell me that isn't black privilege. Now, fortunately, in this particular movie, once they found the video and they were able to show it, and some other things came to be, the jury did declare him to be guilty in that situation. But they were ready to drop all the charges because of the black privilege that they have in Chicago.
Oh, my goodness.
So we got to be careful when we talk about this. We Christians are absolutely privileged, but no more than any unbeliever. What are we privileged with?
The gospel.
Yes. And what is the gospel?
Well, it's the saving truth and, by faith, a saving faith that trusts in the promises of the gospel that Jesus died upon the cross for my sins.
Exactly. And what I am so disturbed in the articles you sent me is that there's no evidence for what they're saying they're backing up. For example, they were saying that women have a much harder job in finding a job. And this month's Lutheran Witness is just really great. It's
excellent.
Called Men at Church. Men at Church. And so in March 2018, here's what they say. Despite the common perception that men have superior job prospects to women, the seasonally adjusted unemployment rates for men and women are now nearly identical. In March 2018, 3.7% of men could not find a job. Guess what the percentage was for women? 3.7%. It was exactly the same. So this idea of white privilege or men have privilege, I don't know about you, but how many churches really have wonderful female leadership? They may not be elders or pastors, obviously, not in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but boy, many a times they keep that church together in so many ways.
And didn't we on the, I don't know if we do right now, but we did have on our board of directors of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we had women there.
Yes. And our seminaries really push deaconesses.
What's a deaconess?
A deaconess is a woman who decides to go into religious work, and we may send them overseas as missionaries. A number of them, well, we've got a bunch here at KFUO.
Well, we also have DCEs, Directors of Christian Education.
Exactly. And they were making the point that in the Missouri Synod, the males who are pastors are 100% males.
Right.
But the deaconesses are 100%
women.
So they have really some great things. In fact, talk about no white privilege or whatever.
Before you go further, you just brought up an interesting, you know, statistic. You can make statistics.
Oh, say anything you want.
Yes.
Like, where is the pressure point for a man in a family? The pressure point is they have a lot of pressure to support their families financially. And the evidence is 76% of men agreed with that. 40% of women don't have that pressure. But then, who has to face a lot of pressure to be an involved parent? Men, it was only 49%. Women is 77%.
Yes.
So there's no doubt there is a big distinction between men and women, and you can prove that. And this idea that some pastors are putting out ridiculously, that there is such a thing as privilege for certain classes of people, is unprovable and just doesn't fit with the facts of the Bible.
You know, one of the famous families that we often look to in the Bible is Timothy with his mother and grandmother.
Yes. Yeah. Eunice and Lois.
Yeah.
Yes.
They taught him the faith.
That they're complimented by the Apostle Paul for bringing up Timothy properly. And especially in this day and age, you know, the catechism says this should be taught by the head of the household. And in my congregation, it wasn't quite a majority, but it was close to it, that the head of the household was a woman because there was no man involved in the family.
And I would see in many of our parishes where they had these single families that these women were clustering to the churches because there they would see a sense of fatherhood through the church leadership that was there.
Yeah, you've got this nonsense that they'll take a look at the number of people who are arrested for crimes, and there's a higher percentage of blacks among blacks and whites. But the fact of the matter is that if you're coming out of a family without a father and mother, and you're not probably going to school, you're not getting an education, you don't have a job, obviously drugs are going to be very enticing for you. And so we ought not be surprised that that level of people are more arrested than other people. And it isn't because they haven't got the privilege. It's because of the family breakdowns. And once more, you go to the Bible and show very clearly that that's part of the consequence of sin.
Yeah, family values.
Yeah. And we'll be talking more about this, how value systems are breaking down all over the place. And people are no longer saying, my values are those of the Bible. They're saying, whatever I feel like is my value.
You know, one Bible passage that came up to mind was Galatians 3:27-29, where it talks about there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, that you are all one in Christ. I mean, that really takes away this whole identity problems that they're talking about.
Exactly. And we can see this new kind of value system rearing its head, especially in light of the Supreme Court rulings in favor of conservative causes, and of course then the retirement of the Supreme Court justice. I saw on television she's kind of a communist also, socialist. She says, you better go out right now and get your abortion because you might not be able to in a few years. This is how they think. And this is why the church really has to be, how shall I put it, really careful in raising their children and their youth, because they're coming into a society where, boy, the very opposite of what the Bible says is being taught in public schools and in newspapers and in the main media.
Yeah. And I think a thing to remind everyone is when they come to church on a Sunday morning, they're all treated alike. We're all poor, miserable sinners.
Yes, we confess. In fact, we confess that we deserve nothing but
temporal and eternal punishment.
Yes, and there's no privilege there. Paul says after he was converted, you know, nobody is saved by the law anymore. But our righteousness comes from Jesus. And that righteousness is toward every person in the world. When he died, he didn't die just for the elect. We disagree with the Calvinists on that. He died for all people.
You bet.
And so the message is, your sins are forgiven. Yeah. And if they refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're throwing away that gift. But it's not because God doesn't offer it.
Yep, and that's where the pastor says, I stand in the stead of Christ. And by his command, forgive all those sins.
Exactly. I have no power. Last week, we baptized two babies. I don't have any power to forgive their sins. But my voice was the voice of Jesus. And the water was used as Jesus commanded. And therefore, in him came a great gift of salvation.
So it's a miracle to watch those baptisms every time, isn't it?
Well, how long did it take for Paul to be baptized after converted?
I don't. How many days was it?
It was almost the next day.
Next day? Was that soon?
He went to Ananias. Ananias said, you know, it was Jesus who appeared to you, and he wanted me to tell you about him and be baptized. And Paul was baptized. And then he went into the synagogue to prove that Jesus was the Christ right after that. And he did that, of course, by using the Old Testament verses.
And they, of course, they were a little bit skeptical because they knew what
Ananias said to God, are you sure you want me to talk to this guy? We hear he's coming. They thought it might be a plan that he would get close to the Christians and then be able to arrest them and take them back to Jerusalem.
And he's a good illustration of privileged character. You know, he was high up in the Jewish society.
Paul had, you know, the best seats at the weddings and everywhere else. And after he became a Christian, he was despised by the leaders of Judaism, etc.
All for Jesus.
All for Jesus, which means we're all done also.
Oh, my goodness. It went quick.
So next Thursday, hopefully, you'll be back probably in Springfield as we continue our conversation. We don't know about what, but tomorrow's Open Mic Friday if you want to continue what we have been talking about. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Long Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Long Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.